Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. It was a sudden and unfair tragedy. Those people weren't hurting anyone. In fact, they were doing what was proper and right, offering sacrifices. When Pilate's henchmen came in and cut them down in cold blood, they slaughtered them so that their blood was mixed with the blood of their sacrifices. It was awful. A sad day for all good Jews. And women who came to Jerusalem as wives left as widows, and children as orphans. So they came to Jesus and told him. Perhaps they wanted to know why. Perhaps they wanted Jesus to denounce Pilate and Roman brutality. Maybe they wanted Jesus to cry out, "How long, O Lord? Hear the cries of your people and destroy those evil Romans." But above all, they wanted sympathy, to know that God was on their side. Affirmation that they were right, and Pilate and the Romans wrong. But Jesus does not respond as expected. Instead, he tells them, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." It is a marvel that he wasn't attacked on the spot. For after all that we Jews have suffered, how dare you, Jesus? How dare you inflict more wounds upon us with your criticism, telling us to repent? What about Herod, huh? Tell him to repent. Well, I'm not talking to Pilate. You want me to condemn Pilate, but he is not here. I am talking to you. Evil is also at work in you and will destroy you, Pilate or no Pilate. And so you must repent, or you will likewise perish. For you tell me of Pilate, but what about the Tower of Siloam that fell? Were they worse sinners than you? Is Pilate a worse sinner than you? Were those slaughtered worse sinners than you? Do you think you are innocent? No. Repent, lest you likewise perish. This is a hard word of God. Not just for those people then, but for us today. Jesus sounds so cold and callous. Imagine speaking those words today after Paris, after San Bernardino. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We would be brutally attacked. An unrelenting media and an indignant public crying out, "How dare you?" After all that we have suffered, telling us to repent? What about the terrorists? Are you one of them? Tell them to repent. How would Jesus have responded to that today? The same way. "But I'm not talking to the terrorists. They're not here. I'm talking to you. For you tell me of terrorists, but what of the tornadoes in the Midwest? What of the earthquake in Taiwan? What of the tsunami in the Philippines? What of flooding and hurricanes and wildfires? Are those to whom these things happened were sinners than you? Do you think you are innocent? Are you so self-righteous that you think God is punishing them for their sins while you're good enough to be spared? No. Repent, lest you likewise perish. To speak that way, it's a dangerous thing. Just ask Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, or any of the prophets. Just ask those who have been taken to task for speaking the truth by our politically correct culture today. Such talk makes it sound as if we deserve to have such suffering and tragedies befall us. But whether or not that's true, it's not the point Jesus is making here. Rather, the point he is making is that he wants us to understand that we are sinful and fallen people living in a sinful and fallen world, and that these sinful and fallen things happen to and affect us all. They happen to good people and to bad people, to rich people and to poor people, to young and to old, and to people of all religions and nationalities. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all means all. If you're afflicted, it doesn't mean you're worse. If you're not, it doesn't mean you're better. So what happens to you when they do happen? Whether either suddenly or slowly from old age or tragedy, when your life is taken? That's the question. For there is a far worse disaster awaiting those who fall short of the glory of God. An eternal one. And so we're not to look at ourselves or to others for an answer or a reason. Who is a worse sinner or not? We like to do that. We like to be the judge and think we got it all figured out. And when we're involved, we usually come out on top. But such comparisons are not reliable and oftentimes, maybe always, not true. So Jesus is clear, that's not the answer. To think that way is only fooling and deceiving ourselves. Rather, in times like this, turn to Jesus, to God our Savior, and repent. Or take refuge in Him. For only He can deliver us, not only from a sinful and fallen world, but from the fallenness and sinfulness that is at work inside each of us. And Jesus then gives a picture of that in the parable of the fruitless fig tree. For that is what sinners who fall short of the glory of God, us, look like. It's not that we don't have enough fruit. It's that on our own, we don't have any fruit. None. And what we deserve is to be dug up and cut down. But there is one who has come to have mercy on us. That we be let alone, or literally forgiven for our unfruitfulness, and be given extra care that we might live and bear fruit. And notice it's despite the tree. It's not that the tree was showing promise or that it used to be good or anything in the tree itself. It's all apart from the tree. It's outside of the tree. It's purely the grace and mercy of the vine dresser who begs for it, who pleads for it, who intercedes for it, and who is now its Savior. That's the picture of the care Jesus provides for you and me. Digging around in our lives that He might feed us with His manure. What is that? It is Himself. It is His body and blood. And it's okay to call it manure because He was thrown out with the garbage, hung on the cross on the garbage heap called Golgotha. His blood poured out for us in His sacrifice there. But the fruit of His tree, the tree of His cross, is now given to us as the food and drink we need to produce the fruits of faith, to no longer be unfruitful trees, but trees transformed by the love and forgiveness of our Savior. So that when faced with tragedy, or with our own mortality, or with fearsome things in the world and in our lives, or if we're just annoyed or challenged with things that come every day that cause us to judge and criticize and feel sorry for ourselves, the best thing to do is to turn to the One who is our refuge at all such times and repent. For to repent is to take refuge in Him and not in ourselves. It is not only to acknowledge our sin, it is to turn away from ourselves, from our strength, and from our wisdom, and however we think things should be, and trust in the love and mercy of God, who has promised to help and be our strength in time of trouble, and to find our life and assurance in Him. It is not to put our trust in the people or things of this world that sooner or later all crumble and fall and let us down, but to put our trust in the One who never will. So that when disaster does strike, and it always does, and it always will, and when we are shaken and we feel vulnerable, it's a reminder to us that perhaps we have been trusting in the wrong things. And so it is we who need to repent. To turn again to our true hope and confidence. To heed again those words we heard from St. Paul. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. It's not really a question of if, but when. So when we fall, when we are knocked down by the sin of others, or by the sin and tragedy and creation, or felled by the sin within, we not only turn to the Lord in repentance, but remember, we are baptized. And not baptized into Moses, like Paul wrote of Israel, but baptized into Christ, baptized into the One greater than Moses, and with a greater exodus. Moses taught, but he could not fulfill. Moses led, but he could not save. But through His death and resurrection, Christ has delivered us from our slavery, not to Egypt, but to sin. And given us the promise, not just of a long earthly life, but an eternal one. That life given in baptism, fed by the bread of His own body, satisfied with the drink of His own blood, and sustained with His forgiveness. When baptized into Christ, this is true. No matter whether things are going smoothly or when our world is rocked. For when things are going well, it is a gift from the hand of our gracious Lord. And when things are not going so well, our Lord is with us through it. But the constant that is there is not the things that happen to us or not, but the goodness of the Lord. to know that whether we live or die, whether Pilate spills our blood or not, whether we are caught in the next building collapse or 9/11, whether natural disasters or disease strike, whether sorrow or joy or challenge is our bread this day. To know that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And so we repent. We turn to the Lord to be the Lord's, to look to the Lord, to rely on the Lord, to expect good from the Lord, which is the very opposite of grumbling and complaining. For to repent is the ultimate praise. For when we repent, we confess the one who has promised to forgive, and who sealed that promise in His own blood. We can say how great God is till we're blue in the face. But to both speak and live a life of repentance and faith, of repentance and forgiveness, is truly to praise His name. For that's how He wants to be known. As the God of the cross, as the God of forgiveness, as the God who got down on His hands and knees with us in our dirt, that we might stand with Him in His glory. And that is a God worth trusting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.